Welcome back to the Beast Game Podcast.
I'm glad to be back.
Welcome back. Anyway.
Thank you.
So we're going to talk about Aquaman, who was directed by James's boy, James Wan.
Who is a phenomenal director.
James Wan.
Yeah, awesome director. I'll give him that.
He's a phenomenal director. After this movie, I'm all about this guy.
It should have been.
James Wan. Should have
been. I haven't even seen the movie.
And Lee Wanell are James's boys.
Uh-oh. That means the shit must be bad then.
He hasn't seen the movie.
I haven't seen it.
I'll tell you right now, like, you got to take Barry's negativity.
James Wan wrote Saw. Is that right, James?
Yeah.
So, okay. He also directed Insidious. Is that right, James?
Yeah, where is this going, man? I'm kind of scared now.
And he also directed The Conjuring. Is that correct, James?
Yes.
And also,
he directed The Conjuring?
Yes.
Yeah.
James Wan directed The Conjuring. He also did Insidious 2 and Furious 7. I just want to go.
Furious 7 was awesome.
Yeah, I just want to go through his directing history before we get into this movie. So it's directed by James's boy, James Wan. It's written by David Leslie Johnson, McGoldrick, and Will Bill. It stars Jason Momoa, Mr. Nobody. Nobody cares about him, except for like maybe the first two seasons of Game of Thrones. Amber Heard and Willem Dafoe. And the synopsis is, Arthur Curry learns that he is the heir to the underwater kingdom of Atlantis and must step forward to lead his people and be the hero to the world. Which is directed by James Wan. All right, Keith, not have the affection that James has for James Wan. How did you feel about Aquaman?
I thought this may be James Wan's finest film to date.
What?
Finest. I have seen almost all of James Wan's movies. You know, the shit that was a Saw. Is that what he said? The Saw was just Saw.
Saw.
The Saw.
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 Okay.
Whatever. Single word. Man. Saw.
This is his finest moment, man. He has come forward. He's finally coming to the fruition of all of his directorial abilities. And
are you joking? Are you joking?
I don't give a fuck. I'm something with James. All right. I'm not a huge James Wan fan as James is, but I'm going to say I appreciate the guy's efforts and what he tried to do here. So first of all, I'm going to come out and say it. I like this film. I fought for a DC Universe movie. Well done. It was pretty good. They tried something different. In this case, it's an adventure film. And the synopsis is actually Arthur Curry is pulled in or is recruited by members of the Royal Court of Atlantis to stop his brother from becoming the Ocean Master. I'm dead serious about this.
Yeah.
From becoming the Ocean
Master. He's telling the truth.
I mean, that's, isn't that the lore, though? Because isn't Ocean Master James, Aquaman? Yes. Okay.
I'm not done. This is only the believable part. This is the part based on reality.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. All right.
In order to stop his brother King Orm from becoming the Ocean Master, he must retrieve the mystical trident of Atlantis from the King Atland and go on an adventure and basically retrieve his atlas, this magical trident. And so he's basically got to go all over the world to look for this thing. He basically does. He go to multiple places all over the world to locate this special trident and unlock his power and assume the throne of Atlantis from his brother and stop the surface world and the ocean world from coming into war. That's the synopsis. All right. Now, they looked at the old Indiana Jones and the old 80s and 90s adventure films. And
yes, did they ever.
They took a bell from that. What was that movie? National Treasure. Nicolas Cage, National Treasure. It had a vibe with that. Finding clues within historical structures and everything.
What?
It basically did that. And there was some palace intrigue, a little Game of Thrones going on there at one point. But there was a lot of world building in this. And when I say world building, I mean, they took something that no one had even thought about, the world of Atlantis, and they actually gave you some actual background on how it went into the sea and then current politics and what the people are like now. A lot of world building. The action was good. That's something Matt and I are going to agree on. Aquaman, he's not a bitch at all. We knew that from watching Justice League, but you know it now forevermore. The dude took a damn grenade launcher to the chest and he just shrugged it off like it was nothing. And it was the one DC movie that they actually took a chance on. They completely abandoned Zack Snyder-esque kind of darkened imaginations of it. They went pretty much full-on action-adventure movie and essentially made it pretty light and pretty much like that. But they went the Wonder Woman route. They took a lot of cues from Wonder Woman, especially that last scene, that last 10 seconds.
Matt, your love for comic books, how do you feel about James Wan's Aquaman?
Jesus, man. Jesus!
It is a very, very visually stunning movie. I will say that. It was a very visually stunning movie, and that's one of the few positives I will give this, as well as the action was there. And even though they were underwater, they did a very good job as far as making it seem like they were underwater, not just a blue background and they're moving at regular speed. Very clunky movie. Parts of the movie that made me wonder, like, why is this even here? It wasn't a seamless transition from one scene to another. It seems like they filled a whole bunch of scenes and then they just put them together. It wasn't a very fluid movie at all, in my opinion. And was he Aquaman? Yeah, but he was more like Aqua Bro.
Dude, that's the whole point.
That part was okay. The other enemy in the movie, I didn't even feel that he should even be in there. In my opinion, he didn't really even serve a point.
Black Manta?
Yeah, other than to just burn up time, to make the movie last longer.
Black Manta, he was a linchpin, man. He was like Killmonger.
Yeah, but Killmonger pulled it off way better. A lot way better. The interaction between the characters, it's okay. As a whole, I think the part, are we talking about spoilers? Yeah, no?
We can tell the whole plot, and you still have to see the movie to understand what we're talking about.
So the part where he has to try to get the trident, he's faced against this monster that one of his arms take up the whole damn screen. And he was the guardian of the trident.
It was the Kraken. You know, remember the Kraken from Clash of the Titans? That's what he fought. Do you remember seeing that thing? Hold up. You remember that, don't you? James, you remember that. Barry,
yeah.
You guys remember that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, I'm the guardian of the trident or something of that nature. And he says, oh, well, you know what? No one's ever talked to me before. And being that you've talked to me, you can have the trident. I'm like, fucking serious?
Dude, that's how it was.
The keeper of this magical, superior, best trident in the world, the one who's supposed to defend it, is like, oh, no one's talked to me before. You can have it.
Wasn't that like something that happened?
That's not what he said.
Hold on. Wasn't that something that happened in Moana? Something?
No, that didn't happen in Moana.
That was like a Martha moment to me when I saw it. I almost got up and left.
No, he's talking about it wrong.
Parts of the movie, I was like, okay, there's a lot of action. I got it. As far as the action in relation to the CGI, the world scale battles were similar to Lord of the Rings 2, except underwater. I thought that went
out. That was cool.
That was cool. Actually pretty cool, and you felt the depth of it and the action of all the different empires or whatever armies in there. They didn't get lost. Go ahead.
I think we may have to go a little bit deeper in some of the world building that they did with it. But basically, King Orm's, Patrick Wilson's, his whole plan is he wants to be declared Ocean Master, and that's so he can assault the surface world. But there's a reason for him being pissed off at the surface world. Pissed off because his mom went up to the surface world and got knocked up by a surface dweller.
Another heir to the throne.
Correct. But Arthur is his older brother, so technically he's the heir to the throne. He's the true heir.
Well, yeah.
So at the very beginning of the movie, Aquaman gets Black Manta and his father and his band of pirates assault this Russian submarine. They commandeer the submarine, but Aquaman comes in, saves the day, kills the dude's father. During the course of the fight, the father gets trapped, and rather than save him, he said, you're on your own, and saves the rest of the crew and swims away. They later on use that submarine in an attack against Dolph Lundgren's character, who's a king of Atlantis. So there are seven kingdoms to the undersea kingdoms of Atlantis. One of those is led by Dolph Lundgren's character. I forget his name, but he's Mira the Redhead's father. Patrick Wilson convinces him, because of this attack, to join forces. He's got all these plans worked out. Him and Dolph Lundgren's help, they assault, begin conquering the rest of the Atlantean kingdoms, so that he can be declared Ocean Master, and then he's going to take over and wipe the surface world clean. But mostly he's pissed off because all the trash and stuff. And at one point, he throws all the trash that humans have put in the ocean, he throws it all back onto land. That was a pretty good scene because that thing fucked everybody up. All the trash was just tossed onto this land and stuff. A bit of stuff in there, but it's kind of overshadowed by what Matt was saying in that. It's like a visual spectacle. There's a lot of shit going on. A lot of it going on.
I won't be seeing this film again.
No, you have to see it again. You have to see it again. You need to see it again. Find the things you missed.
I do have a couple of questions. I'm just curious. Go. So where does this take place? Is this a prequel?
No, it takes place after the events of Justice League.
Okay. Okay. I thought this was going to be a prequel somewhat.
There is a lot of flashbacks in this. So that'd be another reason why Barry shouldn't watch the movie, because there's a shit ton of flashbacks.
Barry will hate this movie.
He hates flashbacks. He hates fun. And he doesn't like action. There's a ton of flashbacks in this. Voiceover narration.
Ooh!
All right, go ahead. Any other questions?
How did they do with the lore of Aquaman? Because people sleep on Aquaman. He's actually a pretty badass character, but I know you guys said he wasn't a bitch, but just with his like his backstory, did they get that somewhat right, or did they deviate slightly?
Well, let me translate for James.
This son of a bitch picked up a goddamn sub and threw it out the water. So, yeah, there's no sense of weakness at all.
I'd say he did.
Even Ocean Master, I couldn't even laugh at any of that. So here's what they did with the lore. They took a bunch of pages out of like Game of Thrones. They set Atlantean society up in different tiers. Then there are also multiple kingdoms that Aquaman now runs. Regular Atlanteans who were just, they look like people. Like 90% of them can only breathe underwater. Then you've got the Highborn who are like Aquaman himself. They can breathe both air and water. Three kingdoms of those guys.
What is like Blade or something? Like he's the Daywalker.
What the fuck? No. That's not it. He was not the Daywalker. He was the ruling class had his abilities. Now, he's got one particular ability that no one else has except for the King of Old, and that's the ability to talk to fish. That ability is something that's not shared by everybody else. Now, then there are different kingdoms. So you got ones who look like the mer people, like mermaids and stuff. You've got those characters who I think they were called the fish people, the fishermen. Then you had the people of the brine who were, they basically look like crabs or lobsters, crustaceans. And then there are the people of the trench who were in the darkest, deepest parts of the ocean where no light touched. And they're these demonic looking fish people. They went deep with that lore. They took all the myths associated with the sea. There's a lot of mysticism / technology, like high-end technology that's mixed into that. There's a link with the Amazonians that they mentioned. The power that the Atlanteans first possessed apparently came from Poseidon. They didn't delve into the whys, just what happened. They made Aquaman pretty badass, and the lore of the Atlanteans was pretty cool as well.
Okay.
No comments at all. I mean, he
pretty much covered it.
No, he covered it.
Nah, Matt was a little sleepy when he saw it, so when you see it again, Matt, you'll...
I'm not seeing that movie again.
I'm going to buy you a ticket so you can see it again, Matt.
I will donate it.
All right, so Matt, it seemed like you really didn't like the movie that much. Keith, it seemed like you liked it a little bit more. All that I'm going to ask you is this. How did my boy, James Wan, do with this movie, in your opinion?
He should stick with the Fast and Furious and all those other scary movies as far as action movies.
God damn, man.
As far as the action movies or anything involving the DC universe, he should probably stay out of it so that his legendary status doesn't turn south.
So hold on, but didn't y'all say the action was pretty good, though?
Action was epic. Action was real good. So here's the problem. Here's what Matt's saying is the problem. What happened is like what happens with all the DC movies. It's not just the director and the producer doing this anymore. It's now 7 or 8 executive producers from Warner Brothers coming down and making changes and adding stuff that they like.
So basically what you're saying is that they don't trust the writers or the directors to do anything with their product characters.
Someone in there thought it'd be a good idea to stick certain things in. You can literally tell. Someone decided that there needed to be a love story, that Nicole Kidman needed more screen time than was warranted. So they stuck her in here, and it looks like they added some more scenes with her in it. Someone made a decision that, and this might have been from James Wan, but that whole scene with them fighting in the village, jumping over buildings and shit, someone made a decision that needed to be in there, but...
That shit kind of like Sahara with Matthew McConaughey?
For the most part. The adventure aspect of it was, like I said, pretty good. I think they drew out too much on those scenes. Like, the whole adventure that they had in Sicily was a little too long for my taste.
There was no point.
I appreciated them. The way he did the action scenes was that he did them as if they were one long take. Things would go, would happen, and then he would kind of like keep the camera moving. The camera would pan over to some other piece of the action that was happening too many times than was necessary. I say he did a good job. I think, again, Warner Brothers wanted certain things, and they're the ones paying for it all, so they get to do whatever they want.
Yeah. I'll be honest. When I heard that he was directing Aquaman, I was already going to go see it just because of his name. Because, you know, I'm a James Wan fan, as Barry has stated over and over and over again. But I was also kind of apprehensive because people are just good at what they're good at. Doesn't mean that you're not going to try to expand your horizons, but now, use the first time around is not a good look. But this isn't his first time around. First time around would be Fast and the Furious 7. And James, that was pretty decent. So
Fast and the Furious 7.
Fast and Furious, you really don't have to do anything. Just have cars and insane-ass action, so.
Well, let's wrap this up. Keith, what score would you give Aquaman, directed by James Wan?
I will be seeing this movie again, so that means it instantly gets a 7. I found the movie very entertaining and thought it was funny, and I'm a huge fan of Jason Momoa. He did a good job, and this role is perfect for him. So I'm going to give this movie an 8. Solid 8. I might give it an 8.5.
What? All right.
But I'm going to give this movie an 8.
Matt, what score would you give Aquaman?
5.
No, see, Matt needs to watch it again. Matt, do your score.
I'll give this movie a 5. It reminded me a little bit of Avatar with Indiana Jones. With very...
What? Oh.
Avatar, as far as the visual graphics, that was great.
And well, I hate Avatar. I hate Avatar, but...
And a little bit sprinkle of Indiana Jones in it. Again, very clunky. Did not need to have that other character in there to make the movie last longer. Definitely a 5. I'm not going to watch this movie ever again. I won't watch it on the airplane rides if I was going on a 24-hour flight. I will not watch this movie with green eggs and ham. I will not watch this on regular TV.
This movie deserves an 8.5.
I guess to say, Matt does not like this movie.
I'm boosting up the score. 8.5.
It has good graphics. I will say that. It was a CGI fest.
8.5.
And the Lord of the Rings mass battles, except now 2018. But yeah.
Okay, so now that both of you guys are giving your score, I do have another question. So just from the most recent DC films, does not include Green Lantern at all.
Wonder Woman too?
Yeah.
Wonder Woman was better than this.
What? No, disagree.
Oh, Wonder Woman, Man of Steel, Batman vs. Superman.
Martha.
Suicide Squad. Ness. That's the only ones I can really think of.
Suicide Squad is always going to be the bottom. Always.
Okay.
It sits at... Shit. It's kind of hard.
I like Man of Steel better.
Yeah, Man of Steel is up there, but I don't think it's aging too well. This is better than Batman versus Superman. Better than Justice League. I'm going to say I think I like this about as much as I liked Wonder Woman. Because Wonder Woman's storytelling was a lot more concise. It told the whole story. It told the story. And then Aquaman, there was a bunch of action set pieces in there just to throw him in there. You know, he needs to fight this. He needs to do this. And Wonder Woman, it flowed a lot better. There was a purpose to the telling of a story from a woman's perspective and how she interacted with World War One. Plus, it was like a period film. But the action in Aquaman was a lot better. Jason Momoa was a lot more entertaining than Wonder Woman was.
Well, I'm gonna check it out because one, like I said, I like James Wan, and I'm not as much of a fan of Jason Momoa as you are, Keith, but I do like him. He's cool. I actually had an encounter with him at one of the conventions that I've been to, and he seemed like a cool dude. So I'll check it out.
Adjust my score slightly to be something more realistic. I'm gonna give it a 7.5, not an 8. To 7.5, it's not that fun.
I'm just gonna say
7.5.
Hold on, James. You and Matt have recently changed scores.
That's a whole different podcast.
It's because Matt loves Transformers. Podcast. But this is enough about Aquaman. I'm not seeing this movie, so I don't really care.
No, you need
don't watch it.
Next superhero movie I'm going to see is a Marvel movie, and I've given up on DC movies for right now.
Should give up on them.
And that's Beast Game.
They're coming back.
You need
that's to not the Beast Game contest.